A boundless reservoir. My name is Chris Norris, and good Monday morning. I hope everyone's weekend was well. It looks like it's going to be a little cloudy and muggy out there today, so probably have the AC on to get some of this humidity out. You know, it gets like this. It's always, as I've stated in the past, the armpit weather is on us. Gotta love it, right? Anyway, just had a good weekend. Everything seemed to go smoothly this weekend. Didn't really do a whole lot. Saturday did actually a lot of studying, thanks to my wife. She gave me ample opportunity to get some things studied for, diverse in many ways. A lot of different things, from HVAC to Bible to even getting some notes together for other things. But anyway, all in all, had a good weekend. Got to spend some time with the church family yesterday. Even had a lunch after church with our Sunday school class and spaghetti. Yeah, probably indulged in that. Banana pudding and chocolate eclair brownies. Yeah, bad stuff. But I will say this. I only ate one helping of spaghetti, and I went back and got another piece of bread and some sauce, and that was it. So, and we didn't just pour straight sweet tea. We actually mixed it up a little bit. But, yeah, back on the saddle today and watching the carbs and the sugar and all those other things. So we'll have to be, mindful of all that as well. Lots of coffee this morning already. Got up early today and basically didn't waste no time. So, yeah, we're ready to go. Monday morning, here we are. Also, over the weekend, I guess we could say that now with the NCAA March Madness tournament, right? It's kind of coming to some finale as we have the Final Four: Florida, Auburn, Houston, and Duke. Now, you know, what's crazy is that I was really hoping Michigan State was going to do well yesterday, but it was almost like Auburn was just too much for them. So I like Coach Izzo, Michigan State. He's been there a long time, you know. So, yeah, but didn't work out. So we have the Final Four, and then, you know, following that will be the actual championship next Monday. And then, of course, we've already started watching some baseball. Braves, I don't think they've been doing too good the past couple games. They lost against the Padres. So, anyway, yeah, so there's the sports side of it. And then, of course, as been stated multiple times, the pollen. Oh, my goodness. It's I think everybody's car is either yellow or some form of that color. It's just it's everywhere. Had a little bit of rain yesterday here in North Carolina, and possible storms today, I think. But anyway, we'll see what happens. And, yeah, everything seems to be in full bloom. And, yeah, a lot of sneezing in our house. I know I've actually been fortunate this year. I cut the grass Friday, and I was thinking, you know, I would probably – sneeze my head off, and I did sneeze a little bit after cutting the grass, but it wasn't terrible, you know. So yeah, thankful for that. And been taking some local honey is what I've been doing. But we're jumping back in 1 Corinthians this morning, and we're going to be in verse a little tongue tied there. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll read the whole chapter this morning, and then we'll kind of come back and hit some highlights. But yeah, a lot of information. Think it'll be good for us to go through. And so here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 says this: "For I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not well pleased, for they were laid low in the wilderness. Now these things happen as examples for us, so that we would not crave evil things as they also crave. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and stood up to play. Nor let us act immorally, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in one day. Nor let us try the Lord, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the serpents. Nor grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men, you judge what I say. Is not the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Christ? Since there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. Look at the nation Israel. Are not those who eat the sacrifices shares in the altar? What do I mean, then? That a thing sacrificed to idols is anything, or that an idol is anything? No, but I say, the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to become sharers in demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? We are not stronger than he, are we? All things are lawful, but all things are profitable. All things are lawful, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own good, but that of his neighbor. Eat anything that is sold in the meat market without asking questions for conscience' sake. For the earth is the Lord's and all it contains. If one of the unbelievers invites you and you want to go, eat anything that is set before you without asking questions for conscience' sake. But if anyone says to you, this is meat sacrificed to idols, do not eat it for the sake of the one informed you and for conscience' sake. I mean, not your own conscience, but the other man's. For why is my freedom judged by another's conscience? If I partake with thankfulness, why am I slandered concerning that for which I give thanks? Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense either to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God. Just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of the many, so that they may be saved. So as we consider what Paul is saying here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we have to understand in what he's describing as the first part of the chapter, and then he moves on into more of application for us. And so if we would read the Bible, we consistently see examples of failure. That's right, failure. But thanks be to God, there's also hope. In the sense of when we would probably examine the children of Israel and how they reacted towards God's care and provision for their life, we may would grade that on a lower scale, just to be quite honest. In the example of how he provided the Exodus out of Egypt, and they were basically set free from slavery. And then, of course, it would go into some sort of complaining or griping in the context of how they looked at what Moses did, and therefore they were unhappy. And even at one point, they would say in the wilderness, we should have just stayed in Egypt to die instead of coming out here. So we see again how mankind continually always responds to God's provision and goodness. Usually it's mostly directed towards the fact that we don't get exactly what we want, even though God has provided what we need. And the flip side of that is that as a believer and we start to mature in our faith, we understand that realm and that mentality starts to expand within us and push out that selfish desire. Literally, it starts to grow within us and well up to basically, as what Paul even concludes, is that everything that we do starts to manifest itself in a way that it's all glory to God and not glory to ourselves. So if we look at the examples of here that Paul describes with the children of Israel or Israel, and we see that their past experiences and how they reacted towards God's care again for their life, there's some application for us to consider as we even walk in the faith that we're in now. And how is it that we kind of come to that point to where we abandon that thought process to put other things above God? You know, Paul basically, again, speaks to idolatry, idolaters here. And so we would even consider that when Israel did give in to that essence of the golden calf, we would see there that there was, again, an act of seeking something else out and what they thought would be above or better than what God could do for them. And many times I think that's also implied in our life, that we sometimes seek out other things that either can or may be a facade or fake, and it appears as though it could be something that is better than what God has for our life, or even it gives some momentary type of satisfaction, when the truth is it's not really genuine, nor is it something that will be long-suffering to sustain us throughout our life. The example that I've often referenced is, you know, you look at like fireworks. I love fireworks, and we shoot them off on the 4th of July. But it is a momentary type of satisfaction that comes from seeing the bang and the twilight of all the sparkling glitter that goes up into the sky, and then there's a mess. And the next day, we're out sweating, picking up the trash. And the thing about it is that when we consider God's, again, what he's basically demonstrated by his love for mankind through his son Jesus, we see a beautiful story, number one. We see the greatest example of love, number two. And then we see the love that we share in, and then we desire to share that with other people. It presses within us and as a weight in which we desire to do this. So Paul's describing not to give into this mentality that we've seen in the example of here with the Israels. He's describing more so to be considerate of what God has done, what he continues to do, and then ultimately also look at your brethren and the unbeliever. That's why he kind of concludes that. And we've talked about a little bit in the past about meat that's been sacrificed to idols and then the freedom that one has and then out of the conscience. And he hits this again in chapter 10 in being considerate or thinking of others in the sense of the gospel. You know, a lot of times we would say that we want to do things for our own desire or our own thought, and maybe we even find it to a point to where we could be justified in the actions, but when you consider the other person and think about what they are going through, then you put pause to the process in which you want to indulge in your own satisfaction. You consider the other brethren for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of edification. Therefore, there is something that's displayed as a sincere love and devotion. And that's what Paul's referencing there. A sincere love and devotion that we've experienced as believers through God's grace, and that's manifest itself again in the life that Christ has allowed us to live. So therefore, we engage with this theology, with this process in which God has allowed us to be a part of, and therefore we don't give into a mentality that's already been lived out in history, and we've seen it even in the Bible. And the Bible's real, it's infallible, it's inerrant, it's truth. So we've seen the example of what happens when we go the direction in which Paul is describing in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And then the application would be is that even though we have the freedoms that God has granted through his son Christ and we have salvation, ultimately we consider others before ourselves. So as when we would describe the way in which God so loves us is that he loved us so that there was the sacrificial love displayed on our behalf. So that's what we do in essence. And we do it in a way that represents Christ well. We don't seek after the desires of the heart. Rather, we seek to, again, Paul references this, in all things to glorify God. And I think, again, that is a process of sanctification. As a process of sanctification and the fact of that we consider others before ourselves. That's not something that happens overnight, nor does it even occur in a midlife crisis. It takes time. I mean, look at probably our congregation. I'm speaking of Woodlawn Baptist Church. There are those that I've heard say that, you know, we've taken, and I'm fixing to put our laundry out there, right? We went a different direction with Vacation Bible School. We actually abandoned it, and praise be to God, I'm glad. So, yeah, that's the news, right? But there are some in our church who would say, well, we did Vacation Bible School for so long, and lots of money was spent on that. Anyway, we'll go a different direction. It's not about the money, but here's the deal, is we went a different direction and wanted to go with camps. This is something that, you know, Mitch presented, and we thought about it, we prayed about it. And it's an outreach to our community. So we're going to do camps. We're going to do baking. We're going to do baseball, basketball, music, all these different things during the summer instead of just, you know, Vacation Bible School. Well, the mentality is that we've done Vacation Bible School for so long. You know, why is it that we're going to just abandon that and go do something else? Well, I don't agree with that. So I'm upset about that. So, you know, therefore, I'm going to basically think that this is something that I think we should do, and I'm not budging on it. I'm going to die on this hill. And so therefore there's a neglect or whatever you want to call it. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, is that some form of idolatry? And I think just to press in, and I know this is probably going to hit some nerves, but just to press in our churches especially, I think that's what occurs. Is that people give into this mentality that there's a way in which we've done things for so long that that's the only way that it can be done, when that's not the case at all. And I think Paul is describing this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It's for the sake of others. And if that means changing some things, then change some things. If that means adapting and not to say that you're changing the gospel, you're not changing the message that's being delivered as you're incorporating these new ways of doing things. If anything, it's beneficial. If anything, it is the responsibility of the church to teach these other people things in which even our children and how things should be done. For instance, I mean, we've relied on the world to do these things so much. And therefore, there's a byproduct in which that has been accomplished. And now we're saying that, hey, the church wants to be a part of this process and teach you a biblical truth in why you do what you do. Yes, even in basketball, even in baseball, even in baking a cake, and even playing music. So it's not a bad thing. There's actually hands-on, you know, and I think that's what's so detrimental. I know. I ranted on that process, but I just think that we forget about that. Paul is saying that in all things, in what you do, do it for the glory of God. And then, of course, God demonstrated his love towards us through his son Christ so that we could have a relationship with him. So why would we not consider that? Why would we not consider that process if God has worked out these details and how he has manifested himself to my understanding of him and my relationship with him, then I should also be in the same mind. And again, that I should operate under that same principle. And again, that takes time. It's part of that sanctification work. To love God, to love others, to consider what he has done, to look at the examples. Paul's saying this. Look at the examples in the Bible that have went before us, and they tried to do it their way. And I'm not saying camps are the only way. I'm just stating a point there of where we can get kind of hung up on some form of idolatry when we place things and we say, well, I'm mad, I'm upset, I'm not going to be a part of this. Side note there in the church. And then how all those things can evolve in a different direction. We have to be mindful of what God has provided for us to operate under and then be submissive to that. Be submissive to that. Life's too short. Paul even emphasizes the stance on where we are. We're not God. Ultimately, it's his body. It's his life. He's granted us a certain time to function here on earth. So may we do that well. May we glorify God in our life. Yes, we're going to make mistakes. Yes, we're going to cuss. We might even mess up on our taxes. I don't know. We're not perfect people. We're failures. We don't want to say that. We've made mistakes. But at the end of the day, I think the importance of what Christ has done in our heart and what he means to us and how that is reflected to other people, that's what sticks. A boundless reservoir. My name is Chris Norris, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.